South of Baghdad today, two suicide bombers blew up trucks filled with explosives outside a Polish-run military base. At least 8 Iraqi civilians, in addition to the attackers, were killed. The ongoing insurgency has greatly complicated U.S. plans for returning sovereignty to the Iraqi people by June 30th. Another major complication? The widely diverging views of Iraq's 3 major communities, Shiites, Sunnis, and Kurds, on how a new government should be formed. United Nations envoy Lakhdar Brahimi was just in Iraq trying to plan the handover of power. He's expected to report soon to Secretary General Kofi Annan. In a moment, we'll examine the difficulty of finding a formula that satisfies all Iraqis. But first, to Baghdad and NPR's Deborah Amos, who has this report on one of Iraq's 3 major groups, the Sunnis.
Adamiya is a rundown district of small shops and massive mosques in North Baghdad. In this tough working-class neighborhood, fresh graffiti proclaims, "Long live Saddam, death to spies." Adamiya is predominantly Sunni Muslim, a minority favored by the former regime. Now that Saddam is gone, no other Sunni leaders have emerged to unite them. Ask here about elections, and Sunnis say it's not the right time. Maha Ahmed, a mother of 5, owns a pharmacy on Abu Hanifa Square.
For us, of course, it's better to have elections. But until now, we haven't had a prominent political figure, one who would really represent us.
Some new Sunni political groups are now organizing and speaking out, including one called the Muslim Scholars Association, clerics who claim to represent the Sunni community.
We had to join the political life because of the political vacuum and the absence of politicians. And once there are Sunni parties coming into the political arena, then we will withdraw back to our field.
Dr. Mohammed Bashar Al-Fadi, a professor at an Islamic university, is a spokesman for the group. Members met with the UN special envoy last week and told him Sunnis are not prepared for a vote.
Well, elections at this particular time serves only the Kurds and the Shiites. They are well organized and they have superior political powers. And they can take part in the election process today, not tomorrow.
The Kurds have had elections in Iraqi Kurdistan for years. Their freedoms guaranteed under Saddam's rule by American and British fighter jets. The Shias, a long-suppressed majority, have found a voice in the Ayatollah Ali Sistani, an influential cleric who's led the fight for early elections. There are Shia exile groups who fought Saddam and have come back home with political organizations and armed militias. So many Sunnis fear they will be swept aside in any ballot. And in the political vacuum, some here believe it is the armed resistance, the anti-American guerrillas, who can deliver what they want.
You cannot convince America through dialogue. You have to resist it. You have to resist it. And I think it's every people's right to resist.
It is a common feeling in Adamiya. Who could unite Iraq's Sunni Muslims? Some people here look to the past, not ready to accept the changes in the country. A strong leader, says this man, named for Saddam, who runs a money exchange shop.
We want someone who is courageous, powerful, and determined, like the courage of Saddam Hussein.
At a barber shop, Mohammed Ahmed snips hair while he considers the possibility of an election. All the talk of Sunnis and Shias makes him uncomfortable. We are all Muslims, he says.
I would prefer not to have elections. It's not elections that's going to solve their problem.
There are Sunnis who are against elections at any time. The Muslim Scholars Association say they will tell Sunnis to boycott elections if they happen too soon. The Sunnis still have to be convinced it is in their interest to take part. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Baghdad.